Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk spring fishing with pro angler Pete Maynard. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get ready to ride. Hayward Power Sports has 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for action. Plus, during the Polaris Spring Do More sales event, there are even generous incentives offered for the first time in years. Adrenaline junkies, feel the unbridled freedom of the pure speed and power with a Polaris RZR 1000 XP Ultimate offering a rebate of $3,000. Or do you need a side-by-side as a true workhorse? Then the Polaris RZR 1000 Premium is it and comes with a $1,500 rebate. Hayward Power Sports even has the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV with a $500 rebate on select models. And don't forget, we can help customize your machine to match how you use it. The options are endless, from a winch, plow, cab, heater or AC, to racks, gun scabbards, track kits, and more. These are all brand new 2023 models, and stock is limited. Don't miss out. Come see us at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
For complete program details, see Hayward Power Sports. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down Hayward Bait and Bottle again, talking to Jarrett McCarthy. And Jarrett, we're getting closer and closer to the fishing opener and closer to open water. We've got some open even.
Yeah, we got some open water. You know, it looks like we got some nicer weather coming, which will hopefully help with that. But yeah, we got fishing opener right around the corner next weekend.
Have you heard any reports on people getting out fishing? I know the river fishing has been pretty darn slow as far as getting out there because there's just been so much water going downstream.
Yeah, as far as people getting out fishing, no, I haven't heard a lot of people. I've seen a couple of people out there on the lake, but between having a lot of snow at the launch from what we had this last week and, you know, seeing some ice chunks out on the lake, haven't heard of a lot of people out there on the water just yet.
As far as fishing, what do you think is going to be the best presentation?
Jigging a minnow, you know, a lot of people like their live bait, but, you know, over the past couple of years, I think early season, slow rolling a jerk bait or, you know, giving it a couple twitches has worked really, really well. Yeah, you can run with a jigging minnow, especially with the water being a little bit cooler. Those fish might be just a little bit more lethargic than they usually are at this time of the year, but a lot of those fish should be raring to roll.
You know, the one thing that gets overlooked, too, early in the year is the smallmouth fishing. We've talked about that before, but the smallmouth are going to be pre-spawned. They're going to be bunched up in bunches. You have to look around to find them, but once you find them, you got multiple fish in there.
Yeah, just like every other fish, you got to look around to find them. But, yeah, you know, there's going to be quite a few fish that are going to be bunched up this time of year. You know, crappies, bluegills, smallies. So, yeah, it's just kind of a search and destroy mission on a lot of fish right now.
I know you down here at the shop, you've got a lot of different baits in stock for the bass. Two guys want to get out and go after a smallmouth or largemouth early in the season. Even we talk about jerk baits, suspending jerk baits, you carry all that stuff in here and you've got a big range of plastics too.
Absolutely. Yep. We're just keep on adding to all of our selections here. You know, we've got all of our jerk baits and everything in stock. You know, we just got Livingston in last week. Still got plastics coming in. We got a brand new plastic to the shop. It's made by Rabid Lures, so it's a brand new plastic, and they've got fox fur infused into the plastic, so it's a really lifelike design, you know, sitting down there on the bottom. And we've got stuff for drop shotting, and we've got stuff for Ned Riggs and, you know, craw designs as well.
You know, we've talked about that drop shotting before multiple times on the show, and I find myself using that presentation a lot more for walleyes, not just for bass. I mean, it seems to be a really good presentation, even for panfish.
Yeah, it's a really great presentation. You know, I was just stocking up on stuff the other day to do my drop shotting for bluegills, so Yeah, whether you're fishing for, you know, bluegills or walleye or, you know, bass out there, it's a great technique to catch fish.
You know, and you, there's multiple different hooks you can use for them. But I see you have those standout hooks here that they call them that they're made for drop shotting, but also you have some drop shot hooks that have swivels in them to eliminate that line twist.
Yep, absolutely. You know, if you're comfortable tying a Palomar knot, you know, you can use just a standard hook. But if you're not and you're new to drop shotting and you want to make sure that your knots are correct, you know, VMC makes that spin shot drop shot as well that has the swivels that are included with the design. So really easy to tie either way.
Let's talk about a couple other things here. I know you got dock systems down here. And it's that time of year. People are starting to get their boats out and getting ready.
Absolutely. Yep. We run Shoremaster docks out of the shop here. We got John here who's helping a lot of people this time of year that are starting to think about getting their docks out or making little fix and getting parts and pieces for their new system. So, yeah, if that's something that you're looking for, definitely stop on by and talk to them.
You know, and our muskie season won't open until up in north up here until later on in the month. But if you go just a little way south, the guys are fishing muskies. And maybe next year we might see the opener on the first Saturday in May again like we used to be years ago. But guys that want to start thinking about getting ready for the muskie season or if you're going to make a trip down where you can fish, you guys got a ton of muskie gear in here. I mean, more than I can. The whole length of the building is
yeah,
muskie.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got a wall full right now, but usually May is about the time that we start thinking about adding some more goodies to this wall over here. But yeah, we've got quite the selection right now. So if that's something that you're looking for or starting to get an early head start on, yeah, definitely stop by.
Well, Jared, I want to take time here to thank you very much. You're on here every week, you know, and you do a great job doing telling people what's going on and what's going on in the shop here.
Absolutely. Thank you. Happy to help.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking spring fishing with pro angler Pete Maness. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of muskie baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Make the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Save over $21,000 on a fully loaded 1975 Pro V Sport. Or we've discounted the 2075 Pro V Sport Limited over $34,000. We have remaining 2022s and the brand new 2023 Lunds are here with more arriving weekly. From the 1650 Angler SS that's ideal for fishing small bodies of water, all the way to the 1875 Impact XS that's perfect for family fishing for up to 6 people. Get your new Lund today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, after a long winter, and we're finally looking at some open water and a chance to get out there on our lakes again for some spring fishing, for the show this week, I had a chance to talk to pro angler and muskie expert from the Hayward area here, Pete Maness, about spring fishing. Pete, good to have you on the show here again. We're not going to be talking muskies too much, I think, but we're going to talk about fishing.
Well, it's a little early for muskies yet, but it's never too early to fish.
Never too early. There's no such thing as a bad day fishing. It's always right. Better than doing something else.
That's for sure.
Let's talk about fishing. One of the things that everybody goes out after walleyes, and, you know, I've talked about this on the show a lot of times, that you know, live bait seems to be the go-to thing, a jig and a minnow, but you don't fish live bait all that much. You fish mostly artificials.
Yeah, I really prefer artificials, and I will be honest, I tell people as a backup, you know, you never know, it's a good idea to have it, but I would say that for a lot of people, they totally, you know, underrate, I guess would be the better word for artificial applications for walleyes, you know, maybe all year, but especially in the spring. I mean, it's just a great time of the year to target them with a lot of different stuff. And, you know, one of the classics is jigging a minnow this time of year, spring of the year, and obviously just floating a minnow around in any way, shape, or form, maybe under a bobber or with a weight system. But I still say it's like the prime time of the year for crankbaits. And a lot of people have heard of the crankbaiting for walleyes, but they think of it as more of a, you know, a low light, you know, after dark kind of thing in a lot of cases. You can do really well right in the middle of the day. And then there's a variety of soft plastics as well. That in a lot of cases will work as good or better than minnows, just from the, you know, the standpoint, especially if you're working fish in cover, it's a lot easier to get a soft plastic through there, and you know, you're not constantly using live bait or losing, you know, they're expensive. Yep. As well. So that's the other thing, you know, you got to keep them alive, and you got to pay more for them, and sometimes they pull off the hook a lot easier than soft plastic will. So it's an efficiency thing to a certain extent.
Well, you think that, you know, when they're eating a minnow, they're probably eating something, but when they're grabbing a crankbait or a stick bait or something like a Livingston jerkbait, or even a plastic, there it's a more of a responsive strike because you got it really close to the fish.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's part of a responsive strike. But, you know, to a certain extent, walleyes don't really get the credit for being the predator that they are, in my opinion, as well. It's just that, you know, for years, the whole live bait thing, I guess, is, you know, kind of made them, I mean, people think they suck a minnow up and suck a leech off the bottom once in a while, and that's how you catch a walleye. But they're just pretty aggressive, and especially larger walleye, I think part of it is, you know, they're somewhat triggered by the action of the bait. It's a wounded look and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, too, they are a predator. They really only got one job in life, and that's to eat. And, you know, they're not afraid to attack bigger baits. And certainly, you know, we're not talking muskies right now, but how many people have caught their biggest walleye ever while they were out muskie fishing?
Lots of
times.
Know?
And you know, they're attacking large baits. I've had walleyes eat baits as long as 14 inches long. So they will attack bigger things. So a 3 to 5.5 inch crankbait is definitely not too big of an item to be targeting, you know, for them in the spring. And that's the average size bait I use. I don't go real tiny. I actually go pretty large, and it's not uncommon to catch the smaller walleyes on them too, you know, 15 to 17 yeah. inch type stuff. So
I've seen some references that say that walleye is actually even a bigger predator than a pike or a muskie is, as far as predatory fish, just instincts.
Yeah, I think that could be argued legitimately, actually. You know, the muskies get all the credit for being the big
right.
meanies, but, you know, yeah, pound for pound and whatever. And they are very aggressive. And I will tell people, I guess, catching a walleye is catching a walleye. You could argue in a way, but I would argue that I love catching them on crankbaits comparatively, just from the fun aspect of it. They just tend to really clobber them. You know, again, a lot of people don't think they're that aggressive and not that big of a predator that they suck a leech off the bottom. But believe me, with a crankbait, if you're really moving that and you're moving that bait erratically, I mean, once in a while, the walleye strikes will shock you. I mean, they're pretty vicious. I mean, you know something's going on.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, you're not wondering if you had a strike or maybe you bumped a weed or anything like that. You know something's happening.
Well, you know, as far as people learning how to fish with the plastics or stuff, it's a little bit different. So what kind of tips can you give people as far as maybe being more productive, how to work on the locations? You want to get closer to the weeds, what?
Are you talking the crankbaits now?
Yes, the crankbaits.
Yeah, I think the big difference with crankbaits is that you've got, or at least what I generally choose to use is floating or neutral buoyancy. So they give you a little bit more of an option versatility type of thing in that, you know, you're able to keep them at a certain level for quite a while and really, really incorporate pauses, which I think is one of the single biggest things. You know, it's that way with muskies, but it almost seems like it's more that way with walleyes. If they see a really erratic thing, bait that, you know, that looks like something good to eat and it's a pretty big target and it has that wounded look, but then you throw that pause in, those extended pauses, and that just really seems to be the key. Not always, but you know, the problem with a jig presentation, especially if you're working heavy cover, it drops fairly quickly and it's right down in the weeds. Now, you can let a neutral crankbait hang for 30 seconds if you got the patience, and that's where these Livingstons come in. You know, we've talked about the Livingston lures quite a bit, but you know, that to me, when a bait's moving real fast, and you know, a lot of the strikes you're going to get are just, you know, strictly reaction type strikes, but where it really makes a difference is when it's sitting still like that. Here you've got those actual biologically recorded fish sounds inside that bait, and they're intermittent, so the, you know, there's a second and a half pause or so, and then it squeaks again, and then, you know, so you've got that bait literally sitting there right over the target. The walleye has watched it dart around a little bit, looked real wounded, and all of a sudden it's just sitting there hanging, and it's talking to him, and it sounds like a bait fish in distress, and well, this is probably a pretty good thing to bite. But there really are patterns where the pause is the key, and I pay a lot of attention to that. Any good angler does. You should always pay it. It doesn't matter what you're fishing for. Size is something, but also the way you're working it, how you're working it, how fast, how slow, how long of a pause, when did the strikes occur, is something you should always be thinking about on any retrieve for any fish. And it's just, that's why I think, I mean, a lot of people say to me, I just don't, you know, I don't have confidence. I've tried to crankbait, you know, and I just don't get many fish that way. And I think it's a lack of confidence and then not being willing to try the pauses for a real long time. And on tougher days, I'll find myself actually extending the pauses. I really, really, really vary my retrieve a ton and play around with the length of pause as well.
Well, you know, and, you know, crankbaits have had rattles in them for years, and the sound has always been a factor. We've talked about this previously on shows, but sound is always a factor. The fact is that rattles in a crankbait only make noise when you're moving the bait, and whether it's the bait fish sound or the fact that it's making noise when it's sitting still, it's still attracting fish even when it's on a pause.
Well, that's the neat thing about it. Yeah, the rattles do stop, right? Yeah. You know, they are noise, but as soon as you, you know, hit that pause mode, they're kind of done. So, and frankly, it is natural sounds, again, biologically recorded. So I would have to assume that helps. I guess a rattle's noise, but it isn't something that actually sounds like it came from fish world. So, you know, you got all of those things going for you. And not to, you know, I don't want to make, you know, everyone sound like they can't catch a fish on a crankbait if they don't have the Livingston noises in there either.
It'll work. X-Raps work too.
I think other stuff works, and I think that the pause is one of the keys. The vulnerability is going to work. I just think in the case of the Livingstons, that accentuates it a little more when you've got that sound actually there on the pause as well. But I probably told you this before, and I might even said it on an interview, John, but I'll never forget, I had never seen that before. The first time I literally saw a walleye following one of those Livingston Jerkmasters, and it was way down below it, and I had tried a few twitches. It didn't even seem to be coming faster, real clear water, and that, you know, same stuff you do musky fishing, you know, you're trying to figure out something to make them bite, and I just killed it. And it was the neatest thing I ever saw. He actually got more excited on that pause, and it was kind of slow, but he covered about 3 feet, and I never twitched that bait again. I never did a darn thing. He just swam up, covered 3 feet of ground, and ate it, sitting there still. And that really got my wheels turning. I was like, now this is something I got to try some more of, because I had never previously let a bait sit still that long for walleyes.
Well, I know it's the pause is the big factor there. We're talking to baits making sound and stuff, but it's the pause. And for a bait to pause, if you're going to pause a bait, the big thing is you got to have a neutral buoyant bait.
I think that really, or slow rise, whatever. Even a slow sink would work. But yeah, I really think that helps. You know, it's the exact opposite of rip jigging, which is something that a lot of people do this time of the year for walleye, especially over on Bay of Green Bay and some different places. But that is essentially using a lipless crankbait, and in most cases that drops really hard and fast, and they react to that super fast drop, and they're generally grabbing it right when it hits the bottom. This is the exact opposite. You're just throwing in a extended pause, and that bait is essentially sitting right in the same place. And again, that's actually advantageous. So When you're working weed structure, anything with tangles, obviously it might be wood as well. If you got a general level of the wood, you can, you know, in some cases you can bounce it right off the wood a little bit and then let it back out of there.
When would you opt to go with a jig with a plastic or a type of plastic, soft plastic bait over the crankbait?
Just when I see it happening. I base things on personal preference. I'm lucky that in just about all cases, I have other people in the boat. So we're essentially experimenting. It's very seldom I don't have three anglers in the boat. Yeah. So we'll go from there and try and pattern it from there. But I will, me personally, I'm going to start with a crankbait, and then you change. If I know soft plastics work, and I've seen it happen. Sometimes you see the difference between a paddle tail type bait or a straight tail, and there's obviously a lot of different ways you can work those as well. Obviously also the speed of the drop, you want to change your jig weight as well. Sometimes they react more to a real light jig that's not dropping fast. In other cases, they want something erratic. They want something that drops hard, and they're gonna react to that a little bit better too. But I have found in the last, I don't know, five to six years that I think that I have outfished jigs so many more times than I ever thought I would have prior with crankbaits. I mean, if people aren't trying crankbaits, they're really missing the boat, because you'll see changes. So there'll be some days are different. You know, some days Tex will get you on the jig and minnow and nobody will catch as many as him. That's just what they're in the mood for. But it's amazing how often I've outfished jig and plastic and jig and minnow, or actually just a live bait being drugged behind the boat, whatever it might be, with a crankbait.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. We come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with Pete Maness. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with pro angler Pete Mayna.
You know, and when we're talking May fishing too, another thing people go after a lot is crappies and panfish. And there again, I mean, I personally don't use live bait on panfish, except maybe in the dead of winter, right? Because in the spring and summer, the plastics outproduce the live bait. And yet I see a lot of people stick with a crappie metal all the time.
That's kind of a hands-down deal. Not the crappie minnows don't work, but I generally don't bring them anymore. I don't even bother. With walleyes and bass, I like live bait as a backup. But crappie, there's nothing that beats the plastic in my mind. They just, again, you want to have a little different variety of it. You know, you got some with two tails and some straight tail plastics and different colors and stuff like that you want to try. But you should be able to get crappies on soft plastic, and it's just so much more efficient than the minnow gig, because you're not chasing little minnows around the floor of the boat. You're fishing again right away. You can generally catch, you know, 20 crappies on a soft plastic in a lot of cases, depending on how soft the bait is. So that's the way to go. And I think we could probably do better on crankbaits. For crappies too, I catch a surprising amount on those, but I don't have a whole lot of cranks that are tiny enough. Generally in the spring, I think if we had some smaller crankbaits, we'd actually, you know, be able to...
Or bigger crappies.
Or bigger crappies, yeah. We've talked about that a time or two. That should be the case too. But yeah, artificial definitely with crappies. I just, you know, I'm not telling you shouldn't use minnows, but boy, I think in most cases you're going to catch a lot more fish and have more fun.
Once some fish move shallow and they're up along shorelines and stuff, the one thing I see is that guys will throw a bobber out there and leave it sit in one spot. And typically what I'll do is I'll throw a bobber out with a plastic on it, and I'm constantly moving it. Usually move it a little bit, stop, move it a little bit, stop. I seem to draw way more strikes doing that than just leaving one something sit there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to re-say it. That's exactly what I do, John. Yeah, you move it a little bit and then take another cast, and yeah, try and... You're locating fish, too, you know. Yeah, a
couple of my favorite baits out there is that crappie scrub, that little...
That's good.
The Acme crappie scrub, yeah. And that Kalins, and then I use a lot of gulp. That gulp alive is good stuff, too.
Well, that's the one thing that's always been pretty good. You know, those gulp minnows, I've one and 2-inch minnows have been good. And yeah, the scrubs are great. And bring a few different types of soft plastics sizes, you know, some with arms, some without arms, and colors. And yeah, you're gonna do great. Sometimes you do see a little pattern, though, where they're in the mood for a different body style on the soft plastic.
A lot of great information there, Pete. You got a website, somebody's looking to follow your exploits out there?
Yeah, just my name, PeteMayna.com it is. And that's got everything there. So it's really about the, you know, kind of one-stop shopping when it comes. I do have the musky suck books and stuff like that on there. But all of my social media and everything else you can access through PeteMayna.com.
So. Thank you, Pete, for taking the time here.
Yeah, you bet, man.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.